then there's another one. There was one that you didn't just do this, that was attached to the social status. We were just like, you know, don't you think this, this is really June 22nd, or just, I don't know what we had to say in this month that they knew about the one they. So the other one, they want to change the date for that.
We are number three, so that one, we're number three as well, so.
Oh, this is the calendar?
Because the first two I've been sent calendars.
Good morning, we're calling to order the June 22nd, 2011 variance hearing. My name is Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. Here with Ava Akira Taylor, who's the executive secretary, and we have the controls for the hearing today. I'd like to begin with a few of the basics. First, for order of presentation, the applicant and or owner shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments about how the 5 findings required to justify a variance are met. More on those in just a second. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach their case. This is the declaration that you have posted and required poster on the building. We have copies of the forms on the dais in the front. Proponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak, and opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak during public comment. The applicant and or owners will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there is any opposition presented during public comment. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And at the end of the hearing, may close the item or may continue the item, may take action today or take the matter under advisement. We begin the calendar with items on consent. These are matters that are considered routine. And if anyone would like to speak on the item, please step forward. Otherwise, the items that are on the consent calendar will be granted. Public comment, there's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and that's a public comment of 3 minutes each. Now on to the criteria for justifying a variance. In section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the liberal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to public welfare, material injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. In regards to decision letters, no decision is final until a variance decision letter is issued. Given the number of variance cases and the current staffing, it may take up to 2 months to complete a variance decision letter. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please sign in the far wall. They are signing sheets for each of the cases on calendars day. A variance decision letter carries with it a 10-day appeal window, so it's 10 days to appeal a variance decision letter to the Board of Appeals. And other matters, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we encourage all parties to be able to communicate effectively, we ask that you do so outside to avoid disruptions to others. And that is all. We can move on to the consent calendar.
There are two items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2011.0286V, 95 West Clay Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure, variances sought. Item number two, case number 2011.0441V, number two, Fifth Avenue, rear yard and non-compliant structure, variances sought.
Is there anyone here to speak on either of these items? That's 95 West Clay Street or 2 Fifth Avenue. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing on both of these items and grant them subject to standard conditions. And we move on to the regular calendar, for which we received some requests to move three items to the beginning of the calendar. They are items number 6 and 7, that's 539 Bryan Street and 625 3rd Street, as well as the last item on the calendar, item number 13, 435 DuBose Avenue. The responses for these cases have indicated that they have scheduling conflicts and need to have these items heard at the beginning of the calendar. I will ask if any of the other project sponsors here would oppose that request, and if not, we would move these three items to the beginning of the calendar. So is there anyone that would oppose the request to move these three items to the beginning of the calendar? Thank you and appreciate your understanding. So we can begin with item number 6. We'll do item 6, 7, and 13 first.
Item number 6, case number 2011.0052V, 539 Bryant Street, parking variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Zoning Administrator Sanchez, for accommodating the schedule request. And I apologize for the inconvenience that that causes. I'm Jim Rubin. Rubin and Judy is representing both items 6 and 7, which will be the next one. I read through all this material last night, Zoning Administrator Sanchez, and I found it a little bit dense, but to be clear, the request on both of these items is to eliminate the parking requirement in its entirety, although there may be parking provided for other reasons, and in the case of 539 Bryant Street, because in fact there's some parking on site and it's in an SLI zone, and we won't be able to convert that space, at least in the near term, without some kind of permission or zoning change. The first thing, and although the materials were dense, they did review all of the elements of the variance requirements, including hardship and exceptional circumstances and the literal enforcement request. So I'm going to be a little more colloquial in my addressing these issues. The first thing I'd like to do is show on a
map, if I could, the location, let's do 539 Bryant, because that's the case that's before you. It is right here in the middle of a yellow patch, which is SLI. Because it's SLI, the recent rezoning Eastern Neighborhoods, I said recent because it was recently completed, but it wasn't started recently. It took 8 years to get to a conclusion in 2009, but it ended up rezoning much of the area surrounding 539 Bryant to allow office, and it also changed the zoning to require no parking when you have an office use. So the there is no minimum parking requirement, which in effect penalizes the SLI property that's been there since, frankly, 1997 or something like that. In addition, there is a rezoning undergoing, that's underway right now for the parcels along Townsend Street, and every indication that those parcels will be rezoned in the near future to allow potential office use there, and it's highly likely that there won't be any parking requirement for those parcels either. So in effect, the SLI parcels are punished because they continue to require parking because they're not being addressed as a part of these rezonings. The NSR at 539 Bryant Street was actually, I'm mistaken on the date, was entered into almost 30 years ago, 1982, and much has changed since that date, which we're familiar with. We have the Transit First policy. We've got a lot of public transportation in the area, including the 3rd Street Light Rail, which is about a block away. And importantly, the NSR required that parking be provided on an off-street basis if we couldn't find it, excuse me, off-site basis if we couldn't put it on-site. And we had 40 spaces leased from a third party until a couple of years ago when we lost that lease. And as everybody in the room is probably aware, this area of San Francisco is developing rapidly and surface parking lots are really interim uses, and that's being demonstrated with the developments all over the place. So I don't think that the NSR is required anymore or should be required. It is a hardship. It is exceptional. It is something that other properties in the area enjoy the benefit of having to provide no parking, and this parcel does not. So the request is to eliminate the parking requirement at this location. Now the truth is, as I said, there are 23 spaces on site. They'll probably continue to be there because we can't convert them to office under the SLI zone. The owner's representative is here if you have questions.
So just to clarify a few items, there are 42 spaces off-site and 23 on-site. We've lost the lease to the off-site spaces and can no longer provide the required off-site spaces. The 23 on-site spaces will continue to be provided, but you're requesting that the condition of approval that requires those spaces be removed so that it can be converted and have more flexibility in the future. Is there any plan to convert those?
There's no plan to convert them, although if the zoning were to change at some point, we're not committing that we wouldn't. They will remain parking spaces on site, and I think you've correctly stated what we are seeking and the status.
And not to get into the next item too much, but it's my understanding that there is an off-site component for the next case, for the 625 3rd Street, and you're seeking, in that case, to remove the parking link there. I know you've tried to find parking for this property. Is the parking that is being given up for the 3rd Street property available to your client in this case?
I think the answer is no. And 3rd Street is a little bit different because what happened in that property is that it got subdivided after the conversion, which was frankly way ahead of its time, 1967, Ron Coughlin Companies. And then the property got subdivided, condominiums were built, and private arrangements were made between the two parcels at that point to retain parking for 625 3rd Street on the new condominium parcel. Frankly, no one is in a position to alter that private arrangement between the two parties, but those spaces are dedicated to 625 3rd Street and are not available to this parcel.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 539 Bryant Street?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Catherine Stockbridge, and I am a general manager representing a 300-unit condominium complex located at 555 4th Street. I apologize, I'm a little nervous. This is my first time. And the board of directors has asked me to attend this meeting to sort of address their concerns about the potential loss of parking on Bryant, Zoe, and Fremont Street, which surround our properties. And So they asked me to come to attend to oppose this variance based on the fact that currently parking is obviously a very valuable commodity to our residents, and we're concerned that this loss of 42 spaces could negatively impact our residents' ability to find parking on those streets. One thing we would be willing to consider is if we were allowed to have permitted parking along those streets, then we would be in support of the variance because the residents would be able to get permits and therefore their ability to park wouldn't be negatively impacted.
What's the address of the property that you represent?
Yeah, 555 4th Street.
555 4th Street. And that's a newer residential development, isn't it, for the last 10 years?
Yes, it was built in 06.
And is there parking provided with that property?
There is a garage with 300 parking spaces. However, most of the units, not all the units have parking spaces.
How many units are in the building?
300.
So about 300 units and 300 parking spaces, but some units may have more than one parking space.
Right. And others are dedicated to vendors, things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item at 539 Bryant Street? Project sponsor, Mr. Rubin, would you like to have any follow-up to that? You have 3 minutes if you'd like. Okay, seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item. At this point, I'd be inclined to take the matter under advisement. I think we can generally support the request, but would want a little bit more information about the potential impacts on the adjacent apartment building, or the nearby apartment building, although that building does clearly have parking at 1:1, and so I don't know that this would have much of an impact on that the parking has been provided for that building. I understand that there are concerns about on-street parking, and of course, imagine petitions could be made to the MTA in order to seek permit parking, residential permit parking, or some other form of permit parking on the streets. Generally supportive, but would just take the matter under advisement at this time for additional information. And we can move on to the next item, to item number 7.
Item number 7, case number 2011.0075V, 625 3rd Street, parking variance sought. Are you the sponsor, sir?
No.
Oh.
Can I just,
Scott,
item number 10?
Oh, sorry, we've taken a couple items out of order.
Item number 10 is not on the consent calendar, but I don't think there's any other. Is it possible to find it?
Objection.
Yeah,
we talked about it. It's good.
We're
going to
have it on the calendar.
Okay, thank you. You have 5 minutes, sir. Yes, thank you. Well, I won't repeat my thank yous for taking it. It's out of order, and much of the discussion points are the same. The facts are a little bit different. I left the map up here. So 625 3rd Street is right here, and in fact, very close to Townsend, which is going to be rezoned, and I think will be office allowed at that area without any minimum parking requirements. So we have the same kind of hardship situation where, because we are in an SLI zone and an existing non-conforming use, we're not going to get the benefit of a rezoning that discusses parking, but everybody that surrounds us is going to get that benefit. This one is actually, I thought, interesting when I read through the materials. My Kaufman was way ahead of his time in 1967, took this warehouse and converted it to an office before even there was SLI zoning. Subsequently, many years later, it looks like Patrick McNerney, Martin Building Company, bought or acquired a parcel next door, created condominiums because there was an existing parking requirement. The two private parties worked out an arrangement
where the parking for 625 3rd Street, the office building that was required at the time, would be provided and dedicated on the new condominium parcel. And there are cross easements and there are CC&Rs, both of which are recorded and show up on title reports, and every homeowner understands that, and both parties have the ability to enforce privately the right to that parking. So what we're seeking in this case is the elimination of the, I would call it, over-regulation of an NSR that is recorded on the property. And so I got a little bit of a smile, but at this point I don't think you need an NSR. It does create questions. Lenders ask questions. Homeowners buying the property ask questions. And in fact, the deal between the two parties is solidly embedded in recorded documents that are already there and subject to review and, as a legal matter, put everybody on notice of the parking that's being provided. That said, I don't think there should be any parking requirement at all, and that's the request in this case. The fact is, parking is still going to be provided. Those 40 spaces are going to be provided. Similar submittal, we have addressed all of the elements of the variance criteria in the submittal.
Questions? Just a few questions, yes. For the 40 parking spaces that are provided on the adjacent residential condominium, One Clarence, what would happen, and it sounds like the parking we maintain, the relationship will be maintained, but what would happen if the relationship is broken? What would happen to those 40 parking spaces that are on One Clarence? Because I'm concerned if One Clarence then be overparked, or would those parking spaces be converted to something else? Because I don't know, Clarence is probably built with their parking maximum already.
Yeah, so it's speculative, and I want to talk to the owner's representative who is here. But it seems to me that they're being parked right now by the office building. They're probably not going to be empty. The question is whether that 40 spaces, what do you allocate, 400 or 500 feet per space? That's a fair amount of space. Whether that could be developed into something that is no longer parking at all, or whether it becomes public parking, which it sounds like the owners of the units in the Palms building, which is the building that was here, would certainly like to see public parking available. But it is not on the horizon. It's not the plan.
Okay.
So, I asked Chris Economo, who's here.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. As with the last case, I would generally support the request, but would want a little additional information about the tie-in with the adjacent live-work building. And it seems there'd be something that could be done to address concerns that I may have about future abandonment of the parking, and that the parking at One Clarence, would that building would then become overparked, and just how we could possibly deal with the future scenarios there. So again, public hearing is closed on the item, taken under advisement, and can now move on to item number 13, the votes.
Item number 13, sorry, sir. Item number 13, case number 2011.0237V, 435 DuBose Avenue, exposure variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you for moving our case forward. Tom Gilroy, the architect for the project. So the variance, the main point of the variance is to, for a change of use, to add an additional dwelling unit to the project, moving the count from 5 to 6. The existing building was built out to all property lines and within 4 feet of the rear property line. This is just a 3D model showing the massing of the building. And so, in terms of the variance findings, the requirement for an open rear yard would require the demolition of about 30 feet of the building. And so other elements that are being rolled into this variance today are the exposure of 3 of the dwelling units, including the 6th dwelling unit, which all are at the rear of the building in this area. And so those four dwelling units don't have proper exposure, but to provide proper exposure would, of course, require significant demolition. So other buildings in the area in the same zoning do have appropriate unit counts, and we're attempting to provide additional dwelling units for the neighborhood and to provide outdoor spaces by carving away at the building mass and providing usable outdoor spaces as seen in this image. So another part of the variance today is for non-conforming extensions into that rear yard, and so part of that is a deck at the new dwelling unit on the third floor. So that would be in this area here. It's extending, it's within the envelope of the existing building, although it is within the rear yard, and so that new deck would be requiring variance. Another part of that would be the addition of a required means of egress by the fire department. The lower image here was the existing building, which had an extension of the back that went out to the rear property line that formed what was used as an altar previously, and that's this portion here. And the other massing is the adjacent buildings. And so for the required means of egress, we are occupying part of this and removing most of it as seen in this image. And so this becomes the egress stair here. And so part of that egress stair is dropping down below what used to be the bottom of the existing extension. And so that extension is going to fall below and be within the existing rear yard, required rear yard setback. And so we were contacted by neighbors about that stair extension. I've met with the neighbor, the tenant, the building owner a couple times, and we've attempted to mitigate the situation. We are, in general, cumulatively reducing the mass of the building so significantly, and the stair enclosure itself, that our feeling is that this is a required means that we're placing in a place that we think is the best for our building, and shifting it over 5 feet from where we had previously proposed it to mitigate with the neighbors. I've 2 images to show that. So this photograph is taken from inside our building looking at the adjacent light well, and this is where the staircase was previously proposed with the landing. So the stair and landing covered most of the light well, horizontally speaking. And so afterward, we shifted it over 5 feet after meeting with the building owner. We shifted it 5 feet to the east to open up most of their light well, and also align with where the existing altar used to end in that same location, about halfway across their light well.
Questions. I know you've been working on the project for quite some time. There have been many revisions to it, some of those to address concerns from the neighbors. One question about the altar, was that recently removed, or was that removed under a previous proposal?
Our previously approved plans from 2008 included that altar as a required means of egress. I have those drawings with me as well. So
that's been removed now and replaced by the stairs that are at the lower level.
Correct.
Okay, and then in addition to the other sculpting that you pointed out to the building to reduce the overall mass from what was there previously,
Right. Those
were all things that were done to make the building livable for the adaptive reuses as residential, but they also have the effect of providing additional light and air to the adjacent property.
Exactly, we're reducing the mass just to allow for operable windows that would otherwise be on the property line and not be operable.
Okay.
And also outdoor spaces.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, 435 DuBose Avenue?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Yes. My name is Christine Koo. I am the daughter of the property owners. I'm speaking on behalf of my father, Ray Koo, and Jimmy Fan. And I just wanted to show. So, unfortunately, just to clarify, the existing structure and the drawings are not accurate. What previously existed was this line right here. So instead of extending out 4 feet, it actually had a remainder of 2 feet to the property line right here. So that actually provided more sunlight. Now, unfortunately, we never thought that we would have to document this in a way to prove the existing structure of a property that was not ours. However, my parents, having owned the property since 92, occupied it since 01, and the two tenants that have been living in the affected apartment, which is 17B, which is the lower rear, first floor lower rear, who have been in that apartment since 09, are witnesses to the pre-existing structure, which is not accurately reflected on the drawings, and it did not extend completely out to the property line. Unfortunately, all of the drawings that have been submitted, excuse me, I'm a little nervous here, with the existing site plans do not reflect this accurately. So this is in regards to the variance 4 and 5. By allowing the structure to extend completely to the property line, even if it's been shifted for 5 feet, there will still be a decrease in the amount of natural sunlight that enters that first level unit because it's a second level stairway. Unfortunately, this unit does not have much natural sunlight in general, so any windows that allow the sunlight in must be preserved in order to maintain a good level and quality of life for our tenants in their home. Also, we believe that with the decrease in sunlight, not only that it decreases the quality of life for our existing and future tenants, but it also decreases the value of our property and our ability to rent out that unit in the future. DuBose Triangle, as you know, is a very sunny area with wide open spaces, and it's unfortunate that our unit will now be, or that unit will have increased blockage even with the proposed site plans. And even with the additional shift in 5 feet, it still blocks our light area by 8 feet, which is half of it. So we still lose approximately 2 feet from here to here. This area, we lose that because the stairway is being built out. Now we're completely happy if the stairway was shifted from this point and there on back, because in our backyard we have an emergency fire escape, and their stairway would just be not blocking any of our windows but be adjacent to our emergency fire escape. Thank you.
Thank you. So a few questions. So this is new information, the statement that the plans are inaccurate and that used to previously come to the property line.
Yes.
Now, it's my understanding that the altar was at the upper level, the top level, mm-hmm. and that the proposed stairs will be at the lower level.
So it actually is, it hits our second floor, and then it just goes straight up. So our unit is 3 floors. And so it started at the second floor, but it didn't go all the way up to the property line. So we still had that additional 2 feet of empty space that allowed light in.
So the 17B Belchers, that's the only unit that would be affected?
Yes, correct.
And that's a three-story unit?
No, it's a one-story unit.
Okay.
It's a one-bedroom on the very first floor. There is
There
are two units right above it. So there are 5 units total in this building. The first floor, ground floor, has 2 units side by side. The second floor has 2 units side by side, and the third top floor is 1 unit all the way across.
Okay, and so you're most concerned about the 17B Belcher. And so it has windows at the rear of the building?
Correct, right? Correct. Okay. But since the fire escape for the second floor unit, it blocks the light that comes in from the back.
Would you be able to just diagram what rooms face onto the light well so I can better understand how would the building be impacted?
Okay.
Just for your property,
sure,
on 17 Belcher.
Sure. So there is, I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head, this would be the living room. Doug, is that correct? That's the living room. Excuse me. This is the beginning of the kitchen area. And there's a bedroom here with windows here, but again, it's a cupboard. And then there are windows in the back here that's covered by a emergency fire staircase.
And so what rooms are in the back that are affected by the, yeah, what rooms are there?
That's the kitchen.
Okay, so the kitchen is at the very back.
Yes.
And facing onto the light well, it would be the living room.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. And what you're simply requesting is that the stairs be moved further so that they're in line with your light well.
Yes, correct. Move further east.
Okay. I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? 435 DeBose Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Okay, regarding the existing altar at the existing building, I surveyed the building myself, and the altar was continuous from one side to the other. I have some diagrams to show. This drawing is actually from the city's microfilm archives, and so the highlighted area shows the back of our building abutting the building at 13th and 17th Belcher. And so, as you can see, their light well is here, and the altar would go out like that, and then all the way across at the property line, all the same level. Another image, this picture is taken from the east side looking underneath the altar, so the altar went from our building out to the property line. We do not have a photograph looking from the west side. Another one is just showing the inside of the building. This wall is clearly flush the whole way across, so there's no jog in it. This is taken during construction, so obviously this is all continuous from one side to the other. And so I just have a few images, and that's a very small aerial photo from Google. And just to show where the stairs we're proposing to locate it on our site plan, it is coming about 5 feet. So it's moving 5 feet, and it's encroaching in front of one of the apartments or one of the condos' decks. So unit number 3, which is on the second floor, has windows here, and so the staircase used to start at this point and go over, and we've moved it over. So now, you know, we're compromising in terms of light and view from this unit out past the stair. You know, we're blocking part of that with the stair here. But in general, I really have to revisit the point that cumulatively the building is being reduced so significantly that the light to their building, which is actually the north facade of their building, and so would not get direct sunlight very often, will be improved, actually. So, again, going from this is the existing altar bump out, to this, where it literally just follows the line of the stair. The whole upper portion has been removed and has been shifted over.
Thank you. So with that, we close the public hearing on this item, and I appreciate the efforts that the project sponsor and the neighbor have made already to meet and to discuss alternatives and the project sponsor's willingness to make those changes. And I do really believe that the impacts will be minimal and that overall there will actually be an improvement in the condition of your property. And I understand that you may not see it that way currently, but I think that you will find that will be the case. That light well that you have is north-facing, so it'd be very rare that you get any kind of direct sunlight in there, and that most of it's going to be reflected light from the adjacent building. So you know, with that, I would generally be inclined to grant the variance, but it won't hold any final decision until the end of the Section 312 notification, which I believe expires on July 1st. But I do appreciate, you know, the willingness of everyone here to meet and come together, and you know, maybe the project sponsor and the neighbor can discuss the matter further. But I think that they have done quite a bit and very willing to make sacrifices on their building to address concerns, and you know, hopefully that will feel the same way, but I understand that you may not. So no decision will be final until the Section 312 notification is completed in early July. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Okay, going back to our direction of our calendar, item number 3, case number 2011-0355V, 2333-2335 Diamond Street. Minimum lot area variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Zoning Administrator.
Thank you very much for everyone's willingness also to take those items out.
Absolutely. John Kevlin here on behalf of the project sponsor. The variance that's being proposed this morning is part of a project that is taking an existing vacant lot in the Glen Park area and proposing a lot split that would allow for the construction of two single-family homes of 3 bedrooms each. What you're looking at here is a photo of the area. Right here is the vacant lot. And in fact, the project sponsor's house is right across the street, so he's well aware of the conditions in the neighborhood. The lot area currently is 3,288 square feet, and the proposed lot split would result in two equal-sized lots of 1,644 square feet each. Now, the strict application of the planning code requires that each of these resulting lots be 2,500 square feet in lot size. I do want to point out, though, that this lot is within 125 and a half street of the corner there at Diamond Street, and that if it were only 6 inches shorter, it would actually be subject to the reduced requirements of the planning code of 1,750 square feet per lot, and therefore the proposed lots would be only 106 square feet short of the planning code requirement. So I just wanted to emphasize that we are merely inches away from that reduced requirement. But that being said, the variance if granted, will in fact result in a development that is more compatible with the surrounding neighborhood than would a project without the lot split. This is an exceptional and extraordinary lot in that it is the widest lot on this entire subject block. It's over 63 feet wide, excluding the one major lot, 102, which is a redevelopment site and has 4 major residential developments on it. Now, without the lot split, this site would only be allowed 1 dwelling unit. And as you can see, on a lot that size, this would be quite inconsistent with the general development of this area of Glen Park. Much of the residential development consists of much narrower lots, closer to 25 to 40 feet in width. And at 63 feet, this would be much wider, and again, it would be a single family home on that wide lot. Now, allowing the lot split would actually continue the existing development on this block of this narrower residential development on these narrower lots. And it's a unique shaped lot in that it starts wider, but as it heads southwest, it gets narrower. And this would just allow a continuous block face of this similar type development all the way down to the corner of Diamond Street there. Further demonstrating the compatibility of the proposed projects with the neighborhood, this is a picture of the vacant lot. You'll see right behind it there are 2 homes, and in fact the proposed development would mirror these homes. There would be 2 equal-sized houses right in front of these, so it is very much in character and consistent with the existing neighborhood. I also want to point out that the resulting lots would still be wider than the majority of other lots on this block, and that also there are already 4 lots of substandard size on this block, two of which were created in 2009. So the proposed lot split would also fulfill, or better fulfill, some of the major policies of the city's general plan. First, 2 family size homes are being proposed, both with 3 bedrooms, which is a unique commodity in the city. And it's also transit-oriented development. It's just a half mile away from the Glen Park BART station, and it's adjacent to the number 52 Muni bus line. So It fulfills those two very important goals of the general plan. So finally, the strict application of the planning code in this situation would place an unnecessary hardship on the project sponsor by preventing him from fully and efficiently utilizing the lot in a way that most benefits the neighborhood and the city, while also doing so in a consistent way with the what other project property owners in the area have been able to do. It provides additional family-sized housing, is near public transportation, and it also maintains and extends the existing character of development in the neighborhood. I just want to ask the project architect, Tony Pontanani, to add anything.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Tony Pontalioni, I'm the architect for the project. I'd just like to mention a couple things. Mr. Sanchez, this is our project site. Mr. McNamara, the project sponsor, and I have done a variety of projects in the neighborhood over the years. In fact, Jim, I think, is he and I have collaborated on about, I think, 8 units in the Glen Park area. Jim lives right across the street from the property site, and I live, my rear yard and Jim's rear yard abut each other, so I live right around the corner on Arbor Street, 132 Arbor Street. But we've, if you take a look at this property right here, Jim and I, we developed a new house here, we remodeled an existing house that was there, and then built another house right next door to it. I think we have a good reputation in the neighborhood. We've met with the neighbors. We discussed the project. I think they're happy to see the graffiti go away and something finally being done in the property. Living in Glen Park, my house is about 2,000 square feet. It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And realistically, a monster home in this area is not necessary. I think 2 smaller homes that'll be much affordable for a younger family. Close proximity to shopping areas as well as BART and public transportation. I think it would be a great addition to the neighborhood. Again, we have setback requirements, the rear yard requirements. We need all those. Still able to get 2 nice homes there. And I don't think there's any neighbors here that object to the project. I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions that maybe just to answer just about the characteristics of the other lots in the neighborhood, and we did receive the summary you have of the other lots.
Yes.
Just wanted to verify this. So the average lot width in the neighborhood is 34 feet.
Yes.
And the subject project would be
32 feet, I mean 32 and a few inches. The lot is 31, I think.
31.
The lot is 62 feet plus, a little bit wide.
The average lot area is 2,817 square feet.
Yes. If you add, the only thing that we didn't look at was the redevelopment property lot. This large parcel here, which has about 8 or 10 units on it. So we didn't really include that lot in our because of its size. It just was. But if you look at the buildings, they're all separated like the other homes in the neighborhood.
But the subject would be 1,644 square feet.
Yes, yes. And I apologize. We met with Tom, Mr. Tom Lang, and Delvin Washington in a project group pre-application meeting, and we sort of touched on the conditional use application so that we could get a lot under 1,500 square feet or 1,660. I forget. We thought that we would be a potential, we had our meeting, at first there's a code section right below the 1750 that says if you apply for conditional use, you can get a lot of, smaller even than that, I think, am I crazy, Scott?
There is a,
it's only conditional, and it's I can't find that section for life. I'm rushing. I got more time. You're talking to me. As long as you're talking to me, I got my own. All right, hold on.
Let's see. So the provision does allow. Let's see.
We thought
the planning commission may permit one or more lots of lesser width to be created. But that's, so if it doesn't meet the minimum width requirement.
William, we met with planning and we discussed the requirements. And they said that, you know, we sort of hit around the height of the building and the setbacks and things like that. But we never really discussed our lot being 125 feet 6 inches away from the corner. We never did about it. So consequently, all my application for the variance dealt with a lot of 1750 instead of a lot of 25 square feet. So I apologize for that.
That's fair. But the fact is that it's still less than the 750 requirement. But the conditional use provision that allows you to go to the commission to seek a lot of lesser width, so it would not be applicable here because you
exactly that wouldn't be applicable. Correct, exactly. We couldn't do that. That's what Tom told us.
All right. I think that certainly could have conversations with you and give you feedback that we had and find it difficult to support the application because it is would create such a substandard lot here that is not characteristic of the neighborhood, and then even the other lots that were pointed out that were less than 2,500 square feet, this is 75% of those lots. Those are about 2,100 square feet. These would be at 1,600 square feet. And I think that the arguments that you make advancing general plan arguments are fairly sound, and that it is transit accessible neighborhood that would provide family housing. Those are persuasive, but I still honestly have problems with the compatibility with the existing neighborhood. This is not the largest lot. I mean, you even have the outlier of the redevelopment lot aside. It's not one of the largest lots. It's maybe in the top 10%, but it's not the largest lot in the neighborhood. Given that the average is 2,800 square feet, we're looking at it creating something that's 1,200 square feet less. I find problematic. I mean, having one house on this lot, that could be problematic as well. I mean, one large home, I think you make excellent points about essentially could be a mansion, but that's the condition for the adjacent building. It's of almost identical size, the one that's actually on the corner. So I just struggle with elements of this variance, and I wanted to make that clear. And I think you've done a very thorough job of making a case. Just have reservations about it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we post the public hearing on the case. As I said, I do have concerns about the application. I mean, I think I'm inclined to deny the requested variance, but I would take the matter under advisement and consider it further. And you raised some issues today that I would like to consider further, but I'm generally inclined to deny the variance, but I will mull it over for a little bit further before making a final decision, which would then be appealable, of course, to the Board of Appeals, and you could further your case there. Thank you.
Moving to item number 4, case number 2011.0134V, 1765 Caseta Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Carlos. I am the owner of the property. The property was, we submitted all applications and drawings and everything, and it was approved. And after we finished the project, in the middle of the construction of the last part of the project was the garage. It was a little bigger than higher, and the city came by and said, no, you have to apply for variance. But we built it according to how the plans were approved. So I don't know what to do.
Okay. Is that, have you completed your presentation? Or?
Yeah.
And the design, Are you the a neighbor or?
No, I'm the designer.
Oh, designer. Oh, okay. Yes, please sit. You can complete the rest of the time.
Hi, my name is Tony Fong. I'm a licensed civil engineer and I'm doing architectural and engineering work. If you look at the plot plan from the Sanborn map, here, so you could tell that the glass was there already. So when I converted this place into two units, so you could tell the existing glasses, one side is like this and the glass door only like that. So in order to park two cars because they have two units, so I expanded that glass door into 16 feet instead. So when the owner built, and they built it a little bit bigger and a little bit higher. That's the reason why, you know, the building department inspector asked them to remove it and get a variance because that's not a buildable area. But the thing is, for stair, there's no way for the owner to move it up here. Up here is because of they have all the windows. In this area, that's why in that case they will block the window and they couldn't even go to the backyard. That's why I request the planning department to have that variance approved.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. So it seems, you know, clear that there was a permit approved previously,
yeah.
But what happened was
the scope
exceeded, and so got a building permit issued, notice violation. This permit is to legalize the work that's been done. Is work completed at this point?
And we stopped. The garage has to be
the
door.
Okay. So at this point, the framing is completed, and so we know the building is not going to get any higher than it appears now. It's going to not get any bigger than it appears now.
It doesn't block anybody. It doesn't affect anybody. None of the neighbors.
So we did receive a letter of concern from one of the neighbors, and
yeah,
I think they expressed concerns about the building being expanded further than what it is now. So it will not be expanded further than the envelope that's been established. Okay.
No, I don't want to tear it down and do what I did.
I have no idea. Okay, well, thank you very much.
I've been working on this project for 7 years, you guys.
7 years?
Yeah.
All right, well,
it's a while.
Get it resolved.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? Is that it?
I'd like to get it approved and move on it so I can go on vacation.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Just seeing that there's no public comment, we'd close the public hearing on this item. And has the building permit application been submitted in Section 311 notification? What's the status of that at this point? Sorry to not ask you this previously.
Yeah, I did. If anything they need mailing out, then I'll ask the owner to come and pay for that.
Okay. But the building permit has been submitted.
Yeah, that's already there.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, thank you. So we can close public hearing on this item.
I have the declaration of posting.
Oh, okay. You can hand that forward to Ms. Taylor. Thank you. Concerned that there was development beyond the scope of the original permit. It sounds like this is something that a lesson has been learned and this won't happen again, kind of exceeding the scope of the permit. You won't spend 7 more years on your next project? No, of course not. So with that, I'd generally be inclined to grant the requested variance, but would take the matter under advisement until the Section 311 notification is complete, and we would issue the decision letter after the neighborhood notification is complete.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2011.0398V, 1443 Church Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here? Are you the sponsor, ma'am?
I'm the owner.
Oh, you're the owner, okay. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, is Tom right here? No. Okay.
I was expecting him to be here.
Oh, who is it?
Thomas Wong from the planning department.
Oh, no, so sorry, at these hearings, it's the project sponsor, either you or your architect would present the case.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'm here to ask that we be able to build a rear deck behind our house. We just want a small deck and a stairway to access our backyard. Doesn't encroach onto anyone else's property or cast shadows. And we're a young family living in Noe Valley, and we just want to be able to have a small deck. Originally, the plans we submitted required that we put up a very big firewall, and our neighbor didn't like that idea, and so we decided to build a smaller deck instead that doesn't require a firewall, but it still requires a variance from the current code.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So this is a very kind of modest, minor addition. I know the neighborhood notification just went out, I think, and so it'd not be completed in July 22nd.
Okay.
So that there is an additional neighborhood notification that goes out. So that's something underway right now.
Okay. Do you want the decoration and the picture?
I'll take it, ma'am.
Poster?
Perfect. Yes, thank you very much.
So should I keep the big poster up?
The big poster can actually come down after this hearing.
The orange one
should be up now, yes.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. Sorry for, I know we have a lot of posters. Is there any public comment on this item? 1443 Church Street. Seeing none, I close the public hearing on the item and would be inclined to grant the requested variance. And like the previous case, would hold over a final decision letter until the neighborhood notification is complete, which would be in about a month. Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2011.0440V, 1080 Sutter Street, dwelling unit exposure variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Neil Kay. I'm with Tom Architects. We're the current architect record for 1080 Sutter Street. I am here to apply for to amend a dwelling unit exposure variance that was granted last year. The original rear yard and unit exposure variance, which was granted to the project after extensive negotiations with the City and Planning Department, wherein my client accepted a reduction in building height of 2 floors for an irregular rear yard. The rear yard variance was minor to what was there, it was sort of consistent with the existing neighborhood. This allowed the project to be more consistent with the surrounding neighborhood massing. But as a result, my client did lose net buildable square footage for this. But you know, we wanted to get this project through the Planning Commission, and so we just accepted knocking off 2 floors. Our office recently became involved in this project after the hearing and the variance was granted, when we did a peer review of the existing plans, and we noted that there were significant and severe building code violations in the existing plan. Because of the lot shape in the rear yard, we had to radically adjust the floor plan to go from 3 units. Well, even if you look at the plan that was approved, where the existing plan had only 1 unit out of the 4 on the floor required the variance for exposure, our amended plan requires that we have 2 units at the back and 2 units at the front, so thereby adding an additional unit per floor to the variance. Please note that although we are applying for a variance to the unit exposure, all the units and rooms will be fully compliant with the building code in terms of light and air. I strongly believe that the plan that you have currently before you is significantly better than what was approved. This will ensure that a decent product is actually brought to market that will have real value. And it's also, I believe, more consistent with the kind of vision the city would have for its dwelling types.
Thank you. Yeah. So this whole issue with the non-compliant exiting was found by your firm when you took over the project for peer review, and was not of your own making, was of the previous architect's making.
Correct. That's correct.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 1080 Sutter Street? Seeing none, we would close the public hearing on this item and would be inclined to grant the requested variance and move on to the next item.
Item number 9. Case number 2011.0297V, 722 Prag Street, front setback variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I am the project sponsor for 722 Prague Street, and right now, the house currently, I brought the poster, which that's got.
I do.
Yeah. So, as you see now to the left of the subject property, she has a door that leads into the small little closet alcove area where she accesses her living room and main house. Also, the front portion of her house is just straight up and down. She has a front setback, I think an existing setback of 15 feet or something like that. And what she wants to do is just put it in the front porch. You have the drawings with you. I didn't bring any drawings with me, but she wants to just put it in the front porch and an entry door where pretty much where the sign is posted, an entry door there, just to create more of an aesthetically pleasing front facade, a little more inviting look. Pretty much similar to the characteristics of the craftsman style homes in the area. The entire area is a mix and admix of transitional homes, modern homes, craftsman style homes, bungalow style homes, and so forth. And most of the homes enjoy a front entry stairway with front porch and planters and so forth, and that's what she has proposed to do. So drawings have been prepared to show that. There were no objections from her surrounding neighbors. She's been here for a long while, so she has made friends with neighbors in that particular area. So the formality is to go to her parents to get the information for granting the approval of it.
Thank you, and appreciate your patience through this process and that of your clients. I know it's been a lengthy one. The item is close to becoming an administrative variance, but didn't qualify because it didn't exceed the 10% requirements of it, but it was close. And the proposal is to remodel the home, improve the livability of the unit for your client, to reconfigure the entryway and provide the shelter from inclement weather and also more enjoyment of useful open space in the front. So thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close public comment on the item and be inclined to grant the requested variance. And the next item.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Moving to item number 10. Case number 2011.0498V, 3617 19th Street. Rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm the architect for the project. The request is to add a deck in the rear yard. It's abutting on the third floor. It's butting against the neighbor's blank wall, and as far as we know, there's no objections from any of the neighbors. It's going to sit on top of, there's going to be a firewall on the property line against the blank wall of the neighbors. We've established it so that it's not projecting beyond the wall of the neighbors. And there's an addition downstairs for the other condo, but that's a separate project and does not require a variance.
And so can you describe the floor levels that would provide access, would have access to this deck?
Just the top, the third floor level.
And so this would be their only access to the rear yard, and this will have access to the rear yard through entry building.
They can view the rear yard. There's no stair from that deck. They wanted one, but that was prohibitively expensive. And, so they do have a interior light well, and they can get to the rear yard through a service stair to a breezeway.
Those will be direct access from that unit to usable open space at that level by providing this deck.
Yes, just on the, it'll be a third floor, small open space, private open space.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, would close the public hearing on this item and would be inclined to grant the requested variance. Thank you.
And we would submit the three. We'll start proceeding on the 311.
That's correct.
Yes, but I'll talk to Michael Smith about that.
Do you have your posting, sir?
And just to clarify, I know you had requested that this item be on consent, and
that's right.
You know, I understand that there was no opposition to it, and that it was generally supportable. This was similar to other variances that we had on the regular calendar as well, so felt it would be fair to have all the items heard.
Thanks.
Do you have your posting with you, sir? Thank you. Moving to item number 11, case number 2011.0301V, 822 Alvarado Street, front and rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Dale Sessions. I'm the designer on the project.
Thanks so much.
The main purpose of our variance is a rear yard setback reduction. What we're proposing is a horizontal deck extension. Currently, on the lower image is the existing deck. It's about 3 feet wide, and this actually, by today's code, is not meeting the rear yard setback as well. And what we're proposing is creating a small, modest deck, horizontal, with a larger the top image. It's fairly much in keeping with the adjacent properties and views. You see there's heavy shrubbery in all these neighborhoods, all backyards, so it's not something that's going to be obtrusive to other adjacent properties. And the property to the west, which is this image here, is quite massive compared to ours, just vertical. So we're kind of thinking that our property is fairly modest. And the property to the east, as you can see, lots of shrubbery. And I have a rear yard elevation, which really is not changing much. The top elevation is the proposed, and the lower is the existing. So you can see it's not a big change.
However, there's one letter of opposition that came in from a property on 22nd. I think it's actually not on the same block, but on the other side of it, side 22nd.
Okay.
They raised a list of concerns, and you know, I think many of them don't apply, but we did want to at least get your reply on them. They had raised issues about sight lines and views. It seems pretty modest addition, so I'm not quite sure how views would be impacted, and at least views could be, what we would be concerned about would be views from publicly accessible areas and parks, you know, city skylines and things like that, and I don't see that being affected here. They've raised issues about rainwater absorption, and so this is a deck that's above grade, and there's really like expanding non-permeable surfaces.
Yeah.
And detrimental to you.
And if anything, we are, there's actually a building permit for the interior work that we're doing now. We're doing some interior work, we're also doing some dormer work, which all falls under a non-notification scenario.
Right.
So there's lots of work happening on this property currently. I actually was getting a little concerns from neighbors as well, thinking that we're doing this without a permit. This is totally separate from what we're doing interior. Anyway, my point is we're actually improving the foundation along the back of the house as well, so we're actually putting in drainage and such, so maybe that is kind of addressing that issue a little bit.
And there have also been issues raised about impacts on habitat, animals and birds, and other vegetation, and it doesn't seem like this would be having a negative impact. I'm not aware of any landmark trees that will be removed for this.
Okay.
And I do appreciate we made comments previously about the location of the stair. You know, appreciate you working with the department, and you know, hopefully that's a better solution for.
I think all around is a better solution.
Okay. Yeah. Well, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have your posting, sir?
No.
Okay. Just submit it directly to the planner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item and. Would be inclined to grant the requested variance.
Next item.
I'm sorry. Last item on the calendar, item number 12, case number 2011-0164V722 Diamond Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I have my affidavit.
Thank you.
My name is Michael Mullen. I'm the project's sponsor, architect. My clients did actually reach out to the neighbors and the planning boards to let them know this project would be coming up. They wanted to be here today also, but they had a child who got sick very suddenly yesterday, so I couldn't make it. I think the planner supports what we're doing. We're actually reducing the footprint of this house, making it closer to conformance with the code. And in the area where we are making our addition, there's an enclosed laundry porch that's been there since the house was originally built. No neighbors have expressed any objections to the project, and we feel that since we are bringing the house closer to conformance, hopefully it's not a contentious proposal. On the block, there are 10 houses, 8 of which are 3 stories, and 6 of which are 2 or more units. So, what we're proposing actually makes the house more similar to those of its neighbors.
Thank you. And I know the planner has discussed with you some of the concerns I initially had about the project, and in particular the parking issue that initially was applied for with the front setback variance to allow the garage structure. But
that's correct.
I understand the project has been revised, the garage has been reduced in size, and would actually now comply with one of the permitted obstructions under section 136C27 because it has an upsloping front setback and the proposed garage is no higher than 10 feet. My concern was with the loss of on-street parking because what we had in the situation was providing an additional dwelling unit, which is fantastic and it's something that the department would support, but providing the off-street parking space would essentially have one off-street parking space and you'd be removing one on-street parking space, which I think the one-to-one trade is generally not something that could be supportable. I did see the plans, and it's a large garage. I mean, arguably, you could get 2 compact cars in there.
Right.
So that I think that does address some of my concerns about that. And I did think on the plans that the the curb cut was the 10.6, which I think it could be, it actually should be 10 feet, so it might be a little bit smaller. That was supportive of the request, but would want, I think, staff to take a little bit of a closer look at the curb cut, and maybe we could shift it slightly to get a little bit more curb length to try to preserve at least one small on-street space. Just looking at the numbers simply, trying to preserve the on-street parking. Because in this case, off-street parking isn't even required because of a recent planning code amendment. I think your plan
was aware
of that.
That's yeah.
Yeah, but it was in the last month, and it's a great thing because it addresses these issues. But it would allow the addition of one dwelling unit without the required parking space. But
I think the house is within a block of, it's right between 24th and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So we feel good about providing housing that's so close to the 24th Street shopping corridor, and there's obviously the 24 bus and the J Church nearby. So also my clients are very active in the Bicycle Coalition, and they're bicycle riding families. So we designed the garage to hold both of their cars as well as all their bicycles and scooters. We're thinking that we're not going to negatively impact the parking. If we can reduce the width of the curb cut to save the space in the street, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing and would be generally inclined to grant the requested variance. Would wait to issue a final decision until the Section 311 notice is completed, which I believe is July 9th.
That's correct.
And then, with the direction that you continue to work with staff to try to minimize the curb cut and preserve as much of the curb space as possible for on-street parking.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that's the final item, but we would have general public comment now for anyone who has a public comment. Seeing none, it closes the public hearing and we reconvene on July 27th.
Yeah, I think.
July 27th?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Those were granted, yeah. Were you here to speak on them?